Welcome to Middle School Matters, podcast number 217, presented in collaboration with the Association for Middle Level Education, Dr. Christina Dubé, and Formative Assessment. This week we've got an interview with Dr. Christina Dubé, an excellent interview on formative assessment and differentiated instruction. We have a joke you can use and a visual joke you can use, so you have to go to the website. Our Eileen Awards, advisory ideas, lots of advisory this week. Our middle school middle with Mr. Dave Bislowski and stuff from the Twitterverse. So without further ado, here is Troy and Dr. Dubé.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm Troy Patterson, and with me is the world's greatest show host, Mr. Sean Micker.
I keep looking for Andy and not go.
Hey, Sean.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
What do you say we do an interview today?
Let's, because I think that the listeners are really going to enjoy this. So
I think so.
So without further ado, let's go to the interview.
Welcome to AMLE's feature this week with our interview with Dr. Christina Dubé. Dr. Dubé is an associate professor of middle and secondary education at James Madison University in Harrisonburg, Virginia. With over 10 years of experience teaching middle and secondary English, she now prepares future middle and high school teachers for careers in the classroom. Dr. Dubé completed her Master's of Ed and doctoral program in curriculum and instruction at the University of Virginia, where she studied the impact of differentiated instruction on student performance in elementary, middle, and high school classrooms. Her publications also focus on assessment and differentiated instruction and include AMLE's Smart in the Middle, Classrooms That Work for Bright Middle Schoolers, co-authored with Dr. Carol Tomlinson. Dr. Dubé works regularly with practicing teachers from all grade levels and content areas as a staff developer for schools, districts implementing initiatives in areas of Common Core standards, formative assessment, and differentiated instruction. Welcome, Dr. Dubé.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. We're really excited to get to talk to you today. And I think the listeners are going to be pretty excited, too. You've got some really great material available for them. And a neat take on both of the aspects of formative assessment and differentiation. So let's start with, what's a good realistic definition of formative assessment?
Okay, formative assessment is really, if we could paint a picture, it's kind of taking a moment to look inside students' brains and see what's going on there during the course of instruction. They are organic learning checks, if you will, where we, after we've taught a lesson or asked students to practice with something, we pause, we ask them a few good questions, and we kind of judge where they are, but really where we as teachers have hit or where we've missed as well, and use that information to kind of drive our instruction the next day.
And when you say ask a few good questions, what can some of those questions kind of look like? What form can they take?
Well, it's a good idea to ask some questions that are, you can ask a few recall questions, you know, what were the main points from today's lesson, or explain the process of photosynthesis as you understand it, you know, as we've discussed it. But it also is really, really important to ask some questions that get at the processing at the higher levels of thinking. And so to, you know, ask students to explain the process of photosynthesis using words and pictures so that you're seeing what they're thinking. Again, we're trying to look inside their brains and see how they're processing it. Mm-hmm. So if we just ask us to give us the key terms, we don't know if they see how it all fits together. So asking some recall questions, but also some do you really get it questions. So give me a great example of a metaphor. Now tell me why anyone would even bother to use metaphors. What's the point of them? Okay. Then you get to see if they get it and if they're really processing it.
And is that something that should be written? Is that something, what kind of form can that take?
Well, in a middle school classroom, it's more efficient if we have it written. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we can do those kinds of questions during class, but that's really, really important for us to be checking in during the course of instruction. And there are formative assessments that we can do as a group too, to just see how the group is processing them, quartet quizzes or think pair shares, things like that, where we get a read on how things are going. But that important piece is the end of the lesson where we maybe ask for an exit ticket, which just have three questions on it. And I'm collecting that written work from students so that I can take it home and reflect on how I've done and how they've done.
Terrific. What's the biggest misconception that teachers tend to have about formative assessment?
I would say that formative assessment sometimes gets confused with district-wide or school-wide tests that folks give, and like, oh, we're all going to do this formative assessment. Well, that's maybe a formative assessment for the system or for the grade, how they're doing, but it's not formative assessment in terms of classroom formative assessment. Classroom formative assessment is really organic. We have to plan to do it, but even though we've planned to take some time at the end of class to do it, our questions might change. And the questions that we planned might change based on the direction of the lesson. So it really is, it becomes part of instruction, not something separate. I think another big misconception about formative assessment is that I don't have time to do it. And it's very understandable if the constraints of sometimes a 45 or 50 minute period or 90 minute period, we think there's just no time to stop and get that information. The press of time is always so heavy, but if we don't stop, then we're just really teaching in the dark, as Hilda Tapa would say. And so, taking that time, even if it's just 5 minutes at the end of the period, where usually, at least when I was a classroom teacher, when I knew I had 5 or 7 minutes left, I would just go into absolute frantic mode, and I would be entertained and the entire time, and I would sit, try to get all my main points in before the bell rang. And they weren't listening to me. They were not listening to my brilliant thoughts that last 5 to 7 minutes of class. They were thinking about getting out of there. They were thinking about their next class. They were thinking about seeing their friends in the hallway. So taking that 5 to 7 minutes, even if I haven't gotten through everything, and really purposefully wrapping up what we've talked about that day, gives me a chance to see where students are, makes my instruction more efficient the next day. And it also gives students a chance to wrap it up and formalize it in their heads, so it doesn't just kind of fall out of their heads as they're walking out the door. I think some of us have been able to see it walk out the door. Information's just falling out of the back of their skulls. This kind of feels there. So it's good for them and it's good for us too.
Okay. You've talked a little bit about the connection between formative assessment and differentiation. And I thought that was a neat twist, because I don't think it's a lot of things that there's not two things that people tend to put together. Mm-hmm. So how can teachers look at that connection between formative assessment and differentiation?
Well, I feel like the most effective differentiation is instruction that is in response to formative assessment. I think it's hard to differentiate if we don't have any formative assessment evidence, because then we're just making assumptions about students and where they are in their learning. And if we've gathered that evidence with formative assessment cards, with exit cards, with Frayer diagrams, with just simple questions, we can look at student results and we're going to see patterns. There's a group of students who got it better than I thought they would. Like, they're further along than I thought they would. There's a group of students who get the main ideas but look like they could use some more practice. And then I've got some misconceptions in one area over here and some misconceptions in another area over here. Now I know, tomorrow I want to have something ready to take those kids to the next level, those who get it. I also want to have something ready for folks to practice and take it to the next level if they're just kind of, right in their grade level where I expected them to be. But then I need to target something to give those students who have misconceptions feedback. And that is a differentiated lesson. And I wouldn't know to do that if I didn't have a formative assessment. So formative assessment drives differentiation, and differentiation really in its truest sense is a response to information gathered through formative assessment.
Okay. Sean, you're being awful quiet today.
I had this wonderful introduction to do.
And you did a wonderful job with it. I think for a lot of teachers, they look at formative assessment and differentiation. It seems very overwhelming to them. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips for teachers to get started in using formative assessment?
I think it really is kind of having the mindset that I am going to frame my class in such a way that when I have those lessons where I really need to know if they've gotten it before they move on, that I'm going to think about trying to get that information through formative assessment rather than homework. Mm-hmm. when we think, okay, well, we'll see if they get it when they turn in their homework, then we're just reacting. And students have practiced with stuff, you know, that night that maybe they didn't get and reinforced the misconceptions. So it's thinking about how can I structure my class that so that at those really important pivotal moments, like we can't move on unless we've gotten this, I carve out the time to ask, I would say, three questions top on an exit card. We don't want to overdo it, but we want to make those questions count. So the first step is carve out the time to do it. The second is to really concentrate on our questions. Am I making sure I'm tapping into both knowledge and the deeper understanding? Do they get the concepts, the terms, but do they also get what they mean, how to manipulate them? I want to maybe ask if it's a math exit card, maybe a question that I think nobody's going to get, because there actually will be some kids who surprise me and get it, and that's information. So that's the first step. First steps is carving out the time and then being really deliberate about our questions.
Can homework count as formative assessment?
It depends on how you use it. If you collect it and put it in the bin and go on with your lesson, and then you check the homework and you see that, oh, this is right and this is wrong, you put the grade and you hand it back, then it hasn't been assessment at all. Assessment is gathering information to inform instructional decision making. On the other hand, if you have kids come in, turn in their homework, go over it, they go over it maybe in groups, and then you use the misconceptions that pop up during that time to drive your instruction. And you've built in some time at the beginning of the period to say, we're going to use homework to figure out where kids are and respond to that. Then you have used that to drive instruction, and it could be considered formative assessment. But formative assessment is typically not a grade, because it's as much a check on the teacher and how well the teacher hit or missed as it is on the students. And so whether we can give them points for completion, but we're not going to grade them for accuracy on a formative assessment, because it really is, you know, more of an information gathering process than a gotcha, put it in the grade book kind of thing.
Okay. Are there issues with students taking it seriously if there's not a grade attached with it?
Absolutely. that's, you know, in a world where it's almost, you know, very, you know, just Pavlovian, you know, like I do my homework, I get a grade kind of thing. You do have to be careful with that. And what I have found is that when students see that teachers are using their formative assessments, then they will invest in it. You're standing by the door and you're collecting them it's their ticket to leave. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yep, sit back down and finish this before you go, you know, that it becomes, well, I have to do this before I leave. If teachers come in the next day with some exit cards and say, oh, I had some great questions from a few of you, let's look at them. I think that they're worth exploring. Or even if they come in and say, you know, I look through these formative assessments, I feel like we're all together, we're ready to move, so we're going to keep going. Or even if they come in and say, wow, I looked at these and I just was not speaking your language for some of you. And some of you need to practice with one aspect of our lesson yesterday, and some of you need to practice with another aspect. So we're going to do that really quickly before we move on. And they see, wow, what I do on that card matters. Then the grade doesn't become as necessary. If you need to wean kids off grades, then you can do like participation points for finishing your formative assessment. But hopefully when students start to see that, hey, this is just part of our learning process, the importance of that grade kind of falls away.
Terrific. What's the structural difference between a formative assessment and a summative assessment?
Well, a summative assessment is usually after they've had a chance to practice and I want to see if they've got it. And it's usually longer. It's usually at the end of a series of lessons rather than just a check during instruction. Formative assessments are checkups along the way. Mm-hmm. A summative assessment is often just an autopsy at the end. Did you get it? Did you not get it? And summative assessment, of course, always has a grade. Formative assessment does not necessarily have a grade. And again, it's about length. Formative assessment is like a quick down and dirty check on the lesson. And a summative assessment usually is more of an elegant, time-consuming kind of thing, test or project kind of thing.
All right. And Sean really, really wants to know.
This is my question, yes.
What is your favorite formative assessment to use?
Well, I've talked about exit cards.
Yes, we love exit cards.
Yeah.
I really do think if you've got a good exit card, that's the easiest. Students get used to that. They're ready. But I like to mix up the exit cards so that it's, sometimes I have them drawing and sometimes I have them writing. Sometimes I have them doing a concept map. I put words up on the board, a few terms and say, hey, on your exit card, I want you to show me how all these words fit together. Draw a diagram or flowchart that shows how all these words fit together. Maybe I like the exit cards and students to get into that habit, but I like to mix it up on the exit card so that it's, it's not always the same thing. 3-2-1, three things you learned, two things that seemed a little bit fuzzy today, and one way you see this apply to real life. That's a great format for an exit card as well, but I don't want to use that every single time. Mm-hmm.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to share with us today. And we do want to note you have a terrific book called Smart in the Middle Grades, mm-hmm. Classrooms That Work for Bright Middle Schoolers. Mm-hmm. And we hope people will check that out. And if they would like to get in touch with you directly, is there a place they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. I would love for them to email me. My email address is DubeyKJ. That's my last name, DoubeTKJ, at JMU, James Madison University, .edu.
Yep. And we'll have those show notes on the show notes as well.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dubey. Really terrific. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.